So we were looking at the book of Job the last couple of days, and in that very first chapter of Job, you know, we established and saw that Job did what was right. He was a blameless man, meaning that he was, doesn't mean he was perfect. It just means he put his trust in the Lord. He put his hope in the Lord. He was living for the Lord. He walked uprightly. He tried to do the things. He lived his life for the Lord. And we saw that he reverently feared the Lord and abstained from and shunned evil because it was wrong. So he didn't do things because he was fearful of retribution from God. He didn't do things because he was fearful of punishment. He did what was right because he did not want to do what was wrong. He shunned evil simply because it was wrong. That is reverence. That is respect for God. That's a great example. That's the first verse in the book of Job. That's a great example for you and I. We should do things simply because it's what the Word says to do. And we should shun evil simply because, not because we're worried about, you know, what might happen to us or what the effects might be on our lives. We should shun evil simply because we know that it's wrong. That's the heart of Job. And that's why that first verse says that Job was blameless before God. And then we see that Job has his sons. He's praying for his sons, or his sons celebrate their birthdays, and as they do so, obviously there's things that take place that Job's concerned about, concerned that it's going to be something that stands between his sons and God, and so he makes sacrifices for his sons after all this partying that they do. And then we see, starting in verse number 6, as Satan appears and speaks to God, and Satan says to God, you know, God says to Satan, well, we talked yesterday about how God asks Satan, well, so what are you doing? And Satan's saying, I'm roaming around. And we saw how that is true even today. He is like a Roman lion, like a roaring lion, roaming about, seeking whom he may devour. That is exactly what we're told in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. And then we see that conversation between God and Satan. And God says, have you considered my man Job? Look, he shuns evil. Satan is the author of evil. Satan is the one who brings evil. Satan is the epitome of what evil is. And God's saying, have you considered my servant Job? Look, he shuns evil simply because it's wrong. And of course, they have the conversation, and Satan basically says to the Lord, well, you've put a hedge around him and all of his house on every side. You've blessed him abundantly. You've conferred prosperity and happiness upon him, and in the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. So Satan's saying, well, of course he's going to serve you. Look, you've got a hedge around him. You've protected him and you've blessed him. He's walked in your blessings. And the Lord said to Satan, the adversary and the accuser, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only upon the man himself put forth not your hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. That's a very telling statement right there, because it does help us to realize exactly what's taking place. Again, remember, we said this a couple days ago, that as soon as man fell with sin, as soon as man fell, gave himself over to sin, he gave authority, all the authority that God had given to him, he gave that authority over to Satan. And God's just simply reminding Satan, listen, you've got the authority, do what you want, but I forbid you, you may not put your hand upon him. And then, of course, we see, you know, the outcome of that, and it's one disaster upon another as Job essentially loses everything that he has. He loses all things. In fact, let's even read exactly what happens. Verse number 13 says, and there was a day when Job's sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house on his birthday. And there came a messenger to Job and said, well, the oxen were plowing, the donkeys were feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans swooped down upon them and took away the animals. Indeed, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you this. So basically, now Job finds out his sons, family, gone. Their lives gone. And while this messenger is still speaking, this is how bad things come upon Job. Think about it from, don't look at Job as some kind of a story. It's an account. This is an account of what happens. So this is not an analogy. This is something that happened. This took place. There was a man named Job, and these things happened to Job. You know, the word, you can always tell from the Bible. You can tell when something is an analogy or when it's an illustration, and you can tell when it's something that is true. God will tell you. He will tell you. You can see it in the verbiage. He'll say it's an analogy or it's like this. Otherwise, other than that, if it's in the Word of God, it's what happened. It's true. So there was a Job and this happened. Now with that knowledge, consider how devastating this must be. Job all of a sudden finds out his son's gone. And then as the messenger tells him, your sons are gone, as that message is finished, as soon as those words have left the lips of the mouth of the messenger, and the shock hasn't even yet hit Job. He hasn't even had time to absorb the reality of that horrific news. And then as soon as he says that, while he was yet speaking, so as that messenger still speaking, there comes another one and said, fire of God or lightning has fallen from heavens and has burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. I alone have escaped to tell you. So now he finds out his sons are gone. And we can also assume his daughters, because we know that on the birthdays it said earlier that the sons would have the brothers and the sisters all together. So he's lost his children. Now he's lost all, basically, of his possessions, his wealth, his herds. And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said. So this is bad news upon bad news. Now, if you stop and consider that this is an actual account of what happened, put yourself in Job's place. Something like this happened. And then before that news is done, there's another devastation. And then before that messenger with the other bad news is done, there's someone else there with more bad news. Boom, boom, boom. I mean, it's beyond imagination that this could happen. And you can see why Job's reaction is the way that it is. So while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the Chaldeans divided into three bands, and they made a raid upon the camels, and they've taken them away. Yes, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. I alone have escaped to tell you. Oh, wait, it's not done yet. While he was speaking, there came another that said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house. Behold, there came a whirlwind from the desert and smote the four corners of the house. It fell upon the young people. They are all dead. I alone have escaped to tell you. Then Job arose, rent his robe, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground, and worshipped. And he said, this is verse 21, and we're going to focus on this. He said, and naked, without possession, came I into the world. Actually, let me read this to you from the King James, New King James. Upon all of this news, all this devastation, he's lost everything, including his own children. And he said, naked I came in, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord is taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, what you do admire is that Job is not going to speak anything. In fact, verse number 22 says, in all this, Job sinned not. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. In the Amplified, it says, in all this, Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. So think about what has transpired in Job's life. In a moment, in an instant. It's not with one event that took away everything. It's in separate events. Numerous separate events that all happened at the same time and are all reported to him right one after another. He's lost everything and he's devastated. And what you see Job say in verse number 21 is, and this is what I want us to see. And naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, that's a verse that people use all the time, and we hear that time and time again. And that's repeated. And unfortunately, one of the things is it true? It's from the Word of God. Well, you know, as you read through the book of Job, one of the things to remember is in the book of Job, it's basically broken down into just a number of conversations. There's the conversations between God and Satan. Then there's the conversation of each of Job's friends with Job and Job's response. And then you see the conversation at the very end of God with Job. Well, as you go through each of those conversations, the conversations, and if you would read through, just the next couple of chapters, in verses 4 and 5, specifically, the first of his friends, the first of his three friends that come to console him, the first of his three friends comes and speaks, and there's a lot of things that he speaks that are just patently untrue. Now, you can take, there's two chapters of information, and here's the thing. If you read the things that his first friend says in chapter 4, and then you read the things that he says in chapter 5, here's the thing. In chapter 4, this friend of Job comes, and in chapter 4, he speaks a lot of things that are patently untrue. It's his wisdom. It's the wisdom of the world. He said, these are the things that we have learned. These are the things that we have experienced. What he's giving is, what he's giving Job is a lot of experience from the world and from the world's knowledge. It's not God's truth. It's the world's truth. And what he's given him is lies. And if you read through chapter 4, you even see that he makes a reference right back to Satan as a roaring lion. He doesn't refer to him as Satan, but he does say that he has a vision. And in the night vision, fear came upon him, and he was trembling and made his bones shake. And then a spirit passed before his face, and the hair on his flesh stood up. This is what this friend says. And if you read through it, this friend is having an encounter either from Satan directly or from one of Satan's minions. There's some demonic activity or Satan himself. So he's even saying that, you know, he had this, and the wisdom he's sharing is clearly tainted because he has the perspective of the world and he has the perspective of the accuser, the enemy, Satan himself. So you know all those things that he's saying are patently untrue. And yet so many times we read the Bible, and because someone said it, he says things and he makes observations. And you can go back and say, well, the Bible says, because it says here that this is the case. Well, if you read those things this friend said, is it in the Bible? Yeah, of course. Obviously it is. Is it true? No, because this is the friend speaking from the world's wisdom and even speaking from the influence of Satan himself. Those things are not true. They're clearly patently untrue. And then if you go to chapter 5, the same friend is speaking, and here's where sometimes it gets confusing for people. But you just have to read the word and just read it in context. In chapter 5, this same man then speaks some things and makes some observations that are true. They're true, and they're backed up by the word of God. In fact, one of the things that this friend says, the same man who spoke under the influence of Satan, that same man still was able to speak some truths. In fact, what he says in chapter 5, verse number 13 is, talking about God, he says, he catches the so-called wise in their own trickiness, and the counsel of the schemers is brought to a quick end. Paul himself, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, Paul himself actually quotes that and says it as a truth. So when we read the book of Job, we have to remember that, again, this is one of the oldest books, and it's one of the oldest accounts of human events that's recorded for us in the Word of God. And this goes back to around the time of Abraham, or a little before or a little after. Depends on who you talk to. This is an old, old story and an old, old account. This all took place well before Moses. This is a very old account. And as we read through it, you have to remember, they still didn't have a lot of knowledge. And you can. This is going to be my point here in Job verse 1, chapter 1, verse number 21. They didn't have a very great understanding of God. There was not God. God was speaking, but they were not hearing. And they didn't even understand a lot of spiritual things. So when we read these things, just like this friend I'm talking about, so in chapters 4 and 5, you read some things that are true, but you read other things that are untrue. And this is why we have to know the Word of God. So I can read those things that I know are untrue, and they go against other parts of the Word of God. And I can even know that in this entire chapter, he's even talking about, you know, the influences or the, you know, the encounter he had with this demonic presence. So I can say that all of that he's saying is untrue. And so if he said it there, I don't want to use that later and say, well, the Bible says this. Nope, I know that's patently untrue. But there are things in chapter 5 that he says that are true, and they match up with other parts of the Word of God. So when we read through the book of Job, we have to remember that they did not have the spiritual understanding, and sometimes those who are speaking are not speaking from God. They're speaking from the point of view of the world, best case scenario, from the point of view of the enemy and his deceptions to the world in the worst case scenario. Now, with that understanding, let's go back to that comment that Job made after he found out all of the things that happened, all the things he lost. And he says, naked I came into my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Right there is evidence that Job didn't even understand that there was a Satan. Job didn't even realize or know that a presence like Satan even existed. And clearly, it's very clear that the friend of Job didn't understand those spiritual things either. So when people take that verse and say, well, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. and they try to comfort themselves by saying, well, God's going to give stuff, but God's going to take it away. No, that is a misunderstanding. Job said it, but he did not understand. He didn't know that there was a Satan. He did not understand that God is the one who gives and that Satan is the one who takes away. He didn't understand that God gives good things and Satan, all good things come from God, bad things come from the enemy. He didn't understand that. Now, he gets more clarity as you go through the book of Job. But that's one of those verses that you can't just take it out of context and say that is the truth. You have to understand that is the truth that Job saw and understood at that moment, but it wasn't the truth because he didn't see spiritual things. God has not yet spoken to Job. So again, Job is just chock full of so many revelations and so much evidence and so much things that we can learn and see. We're scared off of reading the book of Job. But instead of being scared off because sometimes we think, well, the bad thing is going to happen to me. No, read the book of Job and learn that God is a good God, that God loves you. He has good things for you. This is the things that we learn from Job.